Many school systems in our region will begin a new academic year tomorrow. Colleges, universities, and seminaries have already begun their new year. And some of us who are not enrolled in any school now may feel nostalgic about the first day of school. Some of us are probably happy not to have any nostalgia at all. How we engage in our education, or how we have engaged in our education, affects the course in which our lives will take. And this is a crucial point as we consider living as Christians. The school of discipleship is always in session, and there is never a vacation from our vocation. Our calling from God to follow Christ within the fellowship of His church. The lessons that we learn from our Lord Jesus Christ provides the framework in which we can experience a fruitful life during every circumstance, including how we approach engaging in our education, whether from pre-K to graduate school. Learning these lessons from the master of life and from the model of living will help us to prepare also for eternal life with God. Disciples in the time Jesus walked in the Middle East would sit at the feet of the rabbi or the teacher to listen to what he had to say about life with God, which included not only how we relate to God, but through that relationship, how we see ourselves and how we relate to others. And then they would rise and walk in the footsteps of the rabbi to see how to apply those lessons to life. And that is what we are called to do in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the gospel reading, Jesus gathers his first disciples, and they had walked about 20 miles from their last point of the journey, and Jesus asked a question. He wanted to offer a lesson, not only for his first disciples, but for his disciples today. He said, who do people say that the Son of Man is, referring to himself? And his first disciples gave a multiple answer to that question. And then Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? And the crucial lesson that the Lord is teaching us is that we accept Jesus as he has chosen to present himself to us. We do not consult the fickle voices of the crowd. We don't consult the crowd for plurality of a decision about the identity of Jesus. We don't look for a consensus from the crowd. But we make our response due to the revelation of Christ to us. And so, Peter says, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ means the anointed one. And in the Old Testament, anointed ones were seen as priests and kings and prophets. But there was the consideration that there would be one, the anointed one, who would bring salvation. And so Peter said, you are the Christ, you are the anointed one. And the reason why Jesus said at the end of the gospel reading not to say anything to anyone, because the first disciples would have to learn what it meant for Jesus to be the anointed one. Again, there were different images in the Old Testament. And there was the consideration that the anointed one or the Messiah would come to implement a political agenda. And so Jesus wanted them to wait and to see what it meant for him to be the anointed one. But at this stage, Jesus commended Peter, but told Peter that he did not come up with that answer on his own, but it was in response to the grace of God at work within his mind. As he saw Jesus preach and teach, as he saw Jesus heal the sick, that is how Peter came to that conclusion. So Peter had received the gift of faith, but that faith had to develop. He had to learn what it means to be, what it means for Jesus to be the anointed one. He had come to be the servant of humanity. He had come to heal the wounds of sin, division, and death. He had come to teach us how to live life in a fruitful way here on earth in preparation for eternity. And so they would have to have the patience to learn and to apply those lessons step by step. And so it is with us. The first lesson Jesus teaches in the gospel reading is to deepen our understanding of what it means for him to be the Christ, to be the anointed one. In contrast to what is happening in the gospel reading today, we see what Jesus does. He continues his teaching and preaching ministry. He continues to perform miracles, and then he performs the greatest miracle. He destroys death with his own death. He restores us to life eternal through his resurrection. But we need to continue to deepen our understanding of how Jesus did that. And also, if we are to follow in his footsteps, what we need to do in union with Jesus so that we can share eternity with him forever. But not only do we need to continue to deepen our understanding of who Christ is, according to how Christ has revealed himself, we need to continue to deepen our understanding of the church that he founded. Because some people want to separate Christ from the church. Some people want to say the church is irrelevant in terms of growing in a relationship with God. Some people want to say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious, meaning I'm going to put together my eclectic form of spirituality, and I'm going to accept whatever I want to accept from that eclectic form of spirituality, and I want no accountability to a community of faith. Now, if someone who says that they want to be spiritual but not religious, and they say they want to be like Jesus, well, they're walking down the wrong path. For what happens after Peter says, you are the Christ, you are the anointed one, you are the Son of the living God? What you have to say is very important. It has life and death consequences. Jesus says, Peter, you confess this faith in me because of the grace of God. Now, I want to tell you who you are. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So whoever says they want to be like Jesus, they want to be a part of his church. Jesus intended to create a church, and not just some amorphous community there, an intentional community gathered in his name to be led by the people he invested in authority in. And so he says, Peter, you are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom. I will give you an authority for service. Now, looking at what Jesus said to Peter, some Christians want to go through semantics about the Greek. In the Greek, it says, you are Petros, and upon this Petra, I will build my church. And so, seeing those two different words, based on the same root, they say that Jesus really said, you are Peter, and upon this rock, me, Jesus, I will build my church. But Jesus did not speak in Greek. He spoke in Aramaic. And there is one word for rock in Aramaic, Kepha. You are Kepha, and upon this Kepha, I will build my church. And so not only is Jesus intentional in building a church, he's building apostolic leadership that would serve as pastors of the church. And Peter would become the chief pastor. That is what Jesus has done. And Jesus continues to live. He continues to build his church. So when he appointed Peter as the chief pastor and the apostles as pastors, he did not intend for that pastoral leadership to die out when the last apostle died. And as we see in the scriptures, in the Acts of the Apostles, in the writings of Peter and John and Paul, overseers or bishops were appointed to succeed the apostles, to be invested with pastoral leadership. And the successor to St. Peter, who originally was in Antioch, Syria, but then came to Rome and died in Rome, the successor of St. Peter is continued to be seen as the chief pastor of the church, the universal church. And those who are invested with apostolic authority are called to help the church, including themselves, to be faithful to the teaching of Christ handed on to us through the first apostles, and to apply that teaching to situations that really were not discussed in the Bible. You don't see the internet in the Bible, for instance, or artificial intelligence in the Bible, for instance. So how to authentically apply these teachings, particularly regarding faith and morality, to this day and age. But it must be faithful to the teaching of Christ, which the epistle to the Hebrews states, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, that second crucial lesson is that if we believe in Christ, we also belong to his church. You cannot separate the two. Those two phrases sound familiar. Holy Family Church helps people to believe in Christ, belong to his church, and bless our communities. It's from the foundation of believing in Christ and belonging to his church that we go forth and bless our communities. Now, some people may be wondering, why am I talking about the importance of the church? I'm here for Holy Mass at 7:30 in the morning, sitting in the pew here. It's because when Jesus wants to reveal himself to humanity, he chooses to do so through the ministry of the church. Each member of the church is called to give witness to the Lord. And I'm sure that most of us in this church have heard others say, I don't need the church. Or, I don't think Jesus is the God. I doubt the resurrection. Look at the corruption in the church. That's why I forsake the church, but I want to be like Jesus, who has never forsaken the church. As we heard in the psalm at the end there, the prayer was, Lord, your love is eternal. Do not forsake the work of your hands. The church was created by Christ, and he will never forsake the church. Even though there were sinful members of the church, even though they ran away from him when he was crucified, one person turned him in to the Roman authorities. The chief apostle, the chief pastor, who was invested with authority, denied him three times, but repented. And after Jesus rose from the dead, he called his followers to come back to be in relationship with him. He did not give up on them. He did not forsake them. So why am I saying these things to people who have come to the parish church today to worship? Because Christ has chosen us to continue to reveal who he is to others, and that he was intentional in founding a church. And this is the context in which we are formed to grow as disciples. That is what Jesus has done. And when Jesus had asked his first disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" he was not looking for our personal opinion. He was looking for our personal obedience to him. And not out of fear, but out of love for him. And so out of love for him, we want to deepen our understanding of who Christ is, but based on how Christ has chosen to reveal himself. And so once again, I lift up what I say are the two basic textbooks of Christian living: the sacred scriptures, or the Bible, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, you see ways in which to apply the faith to concrete circumstances in life. And that's why I say it's important. It may be impossible to read it cover to cover, many hundreds of pages in it. But if we have a question about something and all, we can look up the index and we can read the paragraphs. We can pray about it. It's not just reading it. We can pray about it and ask the Lord to help deepen our understanding. If we have questions about it, certainly we come to those who have been formed in theology, humbly like myself, if there's a question about what the Catechism says. But it's important to read not only the Catechism, but the Scriptures as well. These are lessons that lead us to everlasting life. Maybe I'm thinking about everlasting life a lot because I've had 7 funeral rites within the past 2 weeks. Life on earth is very short in the view of eternity. And so we need to organize our lives according to what is important. And certainly it's important to learn from the one who is the very source of our lives how we're to live. And so I invite us to consider this week. There's never a vocation from our vocation, our calling to be followers of Christ within the fellowship of his church. The school of discipleship is always in session. And we're not called to learn the lesson so that we could ace the final exam. We're called to learn the lessons because God loves us beyond imagining. He calls us into a relationship with himself. We did not deserve that. God just wants that. And so how much time do we give to being intentional in developing that relationship with the Lord through scripture reading, through learning about the principles of the faith? That's the only way we're going to apply it. We have to know it first and then apply it. And that our motivation to learn and to apply it, again, is our love for God, true love for ourselves, and love for others. Jesus says in the gospel readings, it's important to continue to understand who he is and that he has called us to follow him within his church. But this is the context in which we are formed to be his disciples. And then the way that we live also answers the question that Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" So that when we are invited to do what is right, but then we're tempted to do what is wrong, we hear the voice of the Lord in love who says, "Who do you say that I am?" And we say, "Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You've taught me lessons about how to live. And this temptation is not in accord with the lessons you've given to me. Your lessons give me a fruitful life. This temptation to sin only promises a barren life, even if it's temporarily enjoyable. And so I say that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I'm going to cooperate with you to do what's right." But if we fail, again, we can say, "Jesus, I know who you are and that you never give up on me. I'm sorry that I didn't apply the lessons you've given to me. And I want to do what is right in the future. Please forgive me. Even at that point, we're saying, you are the Christ, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God who has come to forgive me of my sins, to give me a framework for living that is in keeping with my dignity and the dignity of others, created in the image and likeness of God. And so we pray for one another to receive this invitation from the Lord. Christians are lifelong learners from the master of life and the model of living. Because Christ has more of a desire for us to spend eternity with him than we do. And one of the ways he provides for us to experience that great gift is to continue to learn from him in the ways in which he has revealed himself through his church, through his word, given to us in the sacred scriptures and the living apostolic tradition. May we take up this opportunity out of love for the Lord, out of true love for ourselves, out of love for others, because eternity is at stake.